Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Yisrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project. I just wanted to say hello to everyone. We're excited about our show we're having today. And I'm going to play a song for you just so we can give our callers a chance to call in, and we're going to have a very exciting show today. Here we go.
Hey, what's up now?
Brother, what's up?
This is a TV party, man.
Yeah,
I can dig it.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, pick it light. It's fine. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on? Oh,
right now. Right now.
Simply call down here.
Hello and welcome. Shalom, shalom, everybody. Everyone, today it is the first day of the week, and we thank you for all of your participation, and we're glad to have a lot of people on the line, and I look forward to speaking with everybody today. I'm going to get my co-host on the line real quick so he can introduce himself, and I'm going to unmute his mic, and here we go. Brother Donnie, are you there?
Shalom, shalom. This is Adonia.
All right. How you doing today?
Well, I hope my next 100 years is as good as this, these 100 years.
All right. Now, that's what I'm talking about, longevity.
Debbie, everything going all right with you?
Yeah. How you doing? You have my sincere condolences.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's been kind of rough for our family. You know, we've had 3 deaths. So, you know, anytime they run in threes like that right together, back to back, it's kind of rough. But we're going to make it through. You know, it's all a part of life. And
yeah,
we look forward
to,
you know, the new babies that are being born, because every time you lose one, you get one. So, you know, we
that
thank the Most High for that.
That is correct.
You know, but, you know, it's been kind of rough, but we'll get through it. We always do. So tell me some good news this week. What's been happening?
Well, Israel, the peoples that are in the land there, they invited Pope to Israel. I don't think that was done this year. I think it's done next year, but they got a thing out on that they had posted that some people are saying that the Israelis had sold Jerusalem to the Vatican. And didn't you mention something like that? Did I send you that post?
I sure did. Yes, sir. I've been teaching that for years. When I did have a class on Shabbat, we taught that for years, you know, that the Vatican does own Jerusalem. A lot of people don't know that. I mean, a lot of people don't really keep up with government and affairs and the things that are going on. They even have an organization, and I'll get the name of it for you in a minute, where all of the religions have come together under the Vatican, even the Muslims
have come together
under this organization, and the Pope is the head of the organization. So, yeah, we're basically watching prophecy unfold right in front of our eyes. We definitely are.
That is correct, so it won't be long before the Almighty called it all in. You understand? Because he ain't going to let but so much of this stuff go on. You understand? But I think that the Creator is waiting on us. You understand? For us to come together. Our strength is in our numbers. And our protection, and our strength is in our numbers. And our protection is in the Almighty. You understand? So if we got together, the Almighty will protect us from anything that could ever show up. You understand? He put mercy in his place of him being for us, you know, on a continual basis because of our atrocities, you understand? And we've been living off that mercy, but once we start coming together, man, he'll show us favor, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No doubt. I want to make an announcement today because I've had some very exciting things happen to us. Since the radio show and since the interview that we did with the sister in Israel, we have gotten an alarming successful rate of people that have been calling us that have committed to join us in the building of the nation of Yehuda. And we thank them for all of their support. We even had a young lady email us and ask us about how to make donations, financial donations. Beautiful. That, you know what I'm saying? We didn't have to ask. We didn't have to beg. We didn't have to prop up. We didn't have to do any of those things. So I think that is great. You know, we have invited a few people on the show. We were expecting Dr. Omar Johnson to come on the show a couple of weeks ago, but I guess his schedule was really busy. You know, but if any of you, because I see some new phone numbers, if you have want to be a part of our show, and we'll open up the phone lines because this is a show where we invite everyone to participate. And in order to do that, we ask you to push 1. And, you know, if you just have a topic that you want to talk about, Donnie, I want to let you know that I have been in touch with the gentleman in Atlanta. I made contact. I am waiting on him to contact me back so that we can start putting the think tank together.
That is absolutely wonderful.
To talk a little bit about the think tank. And I wanted to share some things with everyone about the think tank. The think tank is vitally important. It's not important just to the Hebrews. It's important to the Christians. It's important to the Muslims. It's important to any of us that are of African descent or that they told us we're of African descent, because we have to start preparing for these end times. And we know that most of our pastors out there are preaching about rapture, and they're getting ready to rapture out. But what we want to do is we need to give you some more information. You know, we're not going to browbeat anybody or come up against anyone. We just want to give you a little bit more information to prepare you for what's about to happen, because there's some serious things going on right now today. Did you hear about the Ukraine?
Yep, that's falling. All of that stuff is all about prophecy. You understand? See, it was supposed to. We were supposed to have wars and rumors of wars, and these things are happening right before our eyes. You understand?
Right.
Now,
yes,
the Almighty is tremendous. You understand? However you may call on Him, man, He is one and the same. You understand? He is making everything that He said to happen. You understand? And all the nations of the on the earth going to know that this destruction sustaining our living and everything, all of this comes from the Creator. You understand? So, and they're going to know that it's come from Yah. It come from the Almighty. You understand? The King of the universe. So there's no ducking it. There's no getting around it. You understand? We're going to get our just due. If you've been righteous, then the Almighty is going to treat you as such. You understand? If you've been slimy, Lord, have mercy.
Yes, sir. And I wanted someone on the chat line saying that they don't have any sound. I'm not sure why you guys don't have any sound on the chat line, but I would invite you to call into the show if you could. You know, I will contact Blog Talk Radio Show after this to find out what's going on with our technical issues where we don't have any sound on the chat line. So I'm definitely going to get on that. But I wanted to touch base on some things today, and I'll deal with the conference in a moment. I guess I can deal with a little bit of it now. The reason why we're having this conference is because, one, we have to get the information out there to the people who are not aware of where we are prophetically in this time. We have to get people to come together so that we can start giving them information as to how to survive. Again, how to survive. We want Hebrew Israelite unconscious and conscious to come together. But this basically is set up for those who are unconscious and for those that are conscious as well to come under the same genre, and so we can come together and put together a strategy on how to survive. We also want to Christian churches to be a part of it as well, because we're all going to suffer the same issues. It doesn't matter what your belief is. It doesn't matter what your religion is. Because, and you know what, it is not even curtailed to black people, because guess what, the other nations as well have, they've been putting strategies together and putting plans together. So we have to pay attention and getting things on board so we know what to do and how to survive. So that's basically what the conference is all about, a think tank on how to survive, how to protect our children. Because the school systems are allowing all sorts of curriculums in there that deal with same-sex marriage, is dealing with two mommies, two daddies. We talked about that last week, how they have a book out for the kids in the kindergarten to read about two mommies and two daddies and what that means. All of these things are an abomination to the Most High, and we do not live under those circumstances. We have to do something to combat it, and the only way to combat evil is turn around and bring some good. So what we plan on doing is just flooding the market with positive things, flooding the market, that all of our news media outlets with things that are positive, that promote a male and a female, that promote our family, our black families, that promote the black woman. We're going to do some things to bring the black woman's credibility back up to where it's supposed to be, because she has completely been taken out of the picture. I mean, if you really pay attention to mainstream media, very, very rarely do you see a black woman, an African-American woman with a black man on television. Very rarely. They now have the black men with the women of the other nations, and then they have the black women with the men of the other nations, and that is totally against scripture.
That is correct.
As it relates to the Hebrew people. So go ahead, Brother Donnie. I'm sorry.
No, that's quite all right. Finish what you were saying, but I can only say that you are absolutely right. You understand? You know, when are we going to wake up? You understand? It's our duty to within our nation. You understand? It doesn't make no difference what religion that you practice. Man, we all suffering the same old thing. You understand? Our children are falling by the wayside. We don't do nothing about them. We don't have no existence.
Mm-mm. Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, that is our biggest thing. We have to do something to bring. We have a female organization that we're putting together right now, and I'm talking about some beautiful women. Women from Brooklyn, New York, women from Pittsburgh. We have women from Atlanta. Everybody's coming on board saying, yes, I want to be a part of this, and yes, we need to do something to bring our credibility back up, and we need to do something to get our men's attention. So guess what, brothers? I'm putting you on alert. All of the black men that are out there that's been putting down black women, we are coming. I'm letting you know we are coming because we do not stand for you to call our women bitches. We are not going to stand for you to call them on sluts. We get ready to put a stop to all of that. I even heard another brother say that the black woman can be completely, totally done away with because they can make Hebrew children with the women of the other tribes. You cannot get rid of the women of Zion. You will not be able to get rid of us under any circumstance because we hold a very special place in the Most High's heart, and we're going to do whatever it takes to if we have to go before him ourselves, we are going to put a stop to all of this hatred and stuff that's going on against our black men and our black women because propaganda. They put this propaganda out there. They idolize the women of the other nations. It's subliminal messages being sent through our commercials, through our television shows, and everything that promotes, wow, I want her. And if all you see on television, because that's what most of us do as a pastime, are women from the other nations, then guess what you do? You gravitate toward what you see. The one thing, though, that we don't want to remember is that the thing that you despise about us, the fact that you say that we're rough, the fact that you say that we're not feminine enough, the fact that you say that we don't know how to talk to our men, all of that is a part of the curse. That was a part of our curse, that we were going to be evil toward our husbands and evil toward our children. I'm not making excuses for it. I'm just letting you know the very curse that he put on us, you're being attracted to the women of the other nations because they don't possess the curse. But guess what? The curse is being reversed, and we're getting ready to go before the Most High so that we'll be able to say, hey, our men have totally annihilated us. They have totally criminalized us. Everywhere you turn, you very rarely see a black man with a black woman, and we are going to put a stop to it. And no, it is not okay. No, we do not condone, and no, it is not okay, and we are not going to stand by and just let you do it. But just not. I know a lot of people say, well, that's racism. We should be able to love who we want to love, but that's not what the Most High said.
Yeah. Did you see, if you watch Scandal and the one that gets all the publicity on that show now is that light-skinned black woman on that show. You understand? Now, most of the people on TV today that supposedly represent blacks is the light-skinned woman. If you go to any one of those news programs on TV, you never hardly ever see a black woman on TV. They got this woman, Joy Reid. She's the only dark-skinned person I've seen on TV in the last 2 years. You understand? She's on CNN. No, she's on MSN TV. You understand? That's the only black woman that I've seen that does the news or brings forth some current events or whatever they call it. You understand? The rest of them is all light-skinned. And they trying to, you know, that right there is a subliminal message. You understand? So we got to be able to, we got to come up with some strategies on our own. You understand? We're sitting back and not doing anything, you understand? It just gives them the right to do whatever they want. You understand? And, you know, and if we want the Almighty to give us to bless us and to show favor on us, we got to do something. Hallelujah.
Absolutely. And for those who are calling in for the first time, because we have a lot of people on the line, I have invited a lot of family members on the line. And for you all who are calling in for the first time, I just want to let you know that we are the Nation of Yehuda, the Yehuda Project. We are the African-American people who have come to find out that we are the Hebrew Israelites of the Scriptures. And our show is dedicated to giving information, current events, end-time prophecies, to give our people time to gather themselves together so that you can be prepared, so that you know what we're talking about. You may hear some words or phrases that you're not familiar with, but we will clarify them as we go along. We do not want to come across as though we're racist, because we are not. We just have scriptures that give us guidelines that tell us not to marry, to have our sons marry women of other nations, nor do we supposed to give our daughters to the men of the other nations. And we follow by those guidelines and those stringent requirements by the Most High. And we try our best to follow Torah law and do the things that we have to do. Now, that's debatable. A lot of things are going on with the fact that, you know, when we went into war and we took the spoils of the other nations, that the women were allowed to come. But Yah is very specific about that in terms of marrying other women. I mean, when you really understand what Nehemiah did to them, in the book of Nehemiah, he basically fought them because they went and married women of other nations and brought these women in. So, you know, there's a lot of hatred on YouTube, and I don't want to spend the whole show on this because this is going to be a whole nother show by itself. There's a lot of hatred going on YouTube from our Hebrew Israelite brothers as it pertains to the black woman, and like Brother Donny, I said, the women of dark skin, or, you know, the women that are African-American women. You know, the way we dress, how we kick ourselves, and some of it is bad. We're not going to say that it's all good, and we're not going to punish anyone for it. Some of it is bad, and we have to get to our young women and be able to give information to our young women to try to change the way they think. But at the same time, you know, it is the responsibility of our men to love our women, and that's what we're trying to promote when it comes to the women. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time on that because I wanted to get to the Obamacare tax. Have you heard about what's going on with the Obamacare tax, Brother Donia?
No, I haven't. Not at all.
Okay, I want you guys
no,
to
No, please
to
explain that to
quick.
Me because I might have missed it or overlooked it. Please give me you know, an update.
All right, here we go. I'm going to play a clip for you. Here we go.
Well, I've got to say, Tucker Carlson, who I've been critical of in the past, is very charming in person. You just heard that hour-long interview with Tucker Carlson. And I'm going to put out a edited video. And by edited, he's not going to be edited, but I'm going to edit in, erotically, with Rob Dew and some other people, everything I say being backed up. In a 37-minute interview we did today, right before we did the live show. And that's going to be out later in the week. But let me tell you, it shows a major sea change in media that somebody like Tucker Carlson would reach out to us about a month ago saying he wanted to come to Austin and go out to dinner with me. And I said, hey, forget dinner. Why don't you come into the studio and we'll have a, you know, debate about a couple things in studio. We've got him on tape freaking out when he saw Building 7 in there on the screen in the TV studio. So this is a big way to reach out to people and a big way to, you know, expand the libertarian movement. And we talk about how the libertarians are taking over the Republican Party, how the Republican Party is trying to block that. I mean, we're talking about real solutions here. Obviously, folks, there is just so much news. It's up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And I got ready for the radio show at about 7 a.m. at my house today. Now, I don't usually do an interview right before my own show, so I kind of got blindsided by it today, having him on during the first hour. But there is so much news we're going to be covering. But what I want to do is I want to open the phones up to get your take on any of the big issues that are out there. As we learn that Obamacare, the IRS announced, as you know, on Monday, that indeed on their own website they will be taking money out of your bank account. They will be tracking you in the tax return with penalties and interest if you don't, A, get insurance, or, B, pay the $5,000 fee. To me, that's bombshell news of the bombshell news. So I covered that Sunday. I covered that on Monday. Here we are on Friday. I'm back covering. That's basically all I'm – I think about what upsets me the most. Why isn't there a move to repeal Obamacare? You've got massive layoffs happening. You've got it hurting businesses everywhere. You've got it getting rid of people with pre-existing conditions. You've got it doubling, tripling, quadrupling prices. It is such a nightmare. And if they can get away with that, they can get away with anything. And I'm seeing it hurt people I know. If this thing still keeps going through, we already pay people pretty good around here. And I pay them more than most people in media at fair level. And, folks, when you get, quote, health care, you end up paying for at least half of it.
Okay, well, you think about that. Now the IRS is going to go in your bank account. If you don't sign up for Obamacare or have some insurance, they're going to basically take your refund check, is basically what he's saying.
Yeah, well, that's all part of them, those same people, the hierarchies, the higher ups, the elites, you understand, crashing the system. The system is about to go under, and when they start taking from your, when they start taking money out your account, you understand, guess what's going to happen next? They're going to start going into those IRAs, and you're going to get pennies on a dollar. For all the money that you have, some people got $250,000 in their IRAs and their 401ks and all of that kind of stuff. You're gonna get pennies on your on a dollar for your money. So all of this is part of the crashing of the system. I don't know what they expect to get out of this here. You understand? Because if you crash the system, don't nobody go to work. Don't no money come in, or you understand? And they won't have no money for other things. And the other nations is looking at this here. And do you think that they're gonna grab hold of this system that as it stands now, knowing that they take a chance with their lives and their life earnings and all? I just don't get it, man. I'm not sure. But the Almighty is so great, man. See, all of this is punishment. You understand? We still in the punishment corner. You understand? Regardless of how it works for everybody else, we know we get the Zoak end of the stick. Understand what I'm saying? We always get the end of the stick that is messed up. You understand? There's nothing that's good gonna come out of this for us for sure. You understand? And it's a sad day. You understand? See, they messing with my little bit of medical expense now. See, at one time I started out and I wasn't paying no copayment. Now I got to pay a copayment. You understand? I got to go for a colonoscopy. I got to pay a copayment on that. You understand? Come on, man. And I don't get no whole lot of money. Period. So I know that they're trying to crash the system, and they're trying to start a civil war even. You
yes,
understand?
Sir.
They're trying to get
yes,
us
sir.
To rise up on, huh?
Yes, sir. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. They're trying to get us to rise up so they can use them those internment camps, man. You understand? They got other people's training. You understand? The Japanese, Chinese, all those other foreign nations, they training so that they can come over here and grab us up as we come out our door. You understand? You read some stuff over there, man, that if they start a uprising, they can come take anything out your house or anything that you belong, and you won't have nothing, and you might as well just march yourself right on into them camps. You understand? So we don't stand a chance. Our only salvation is in the Almighty. Now, we can't get out and go get our guns and go kill nobody and this and that. That's not going to solve nothing. The Almighty said he's going to straighten them all out. So, I know that it's going to be straightened out. He's going to do what he said he's going to do. We just got to do what we are commanded to do by the Almighty. You understand? So, it's just a matter of us trying to get ourselves together. We got to get that think tank going, and we got to get it, and we can't waste no time on trying to get it together. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I just want to make an announcement that I am on a cell phone, so if anything happens and you guys don't hear me and something happens where I go silent, please continue to talk, Brother Adonijah, and I will call back in because that's been happening a lot. I'm going to open up the phone for area code 202 so we can get them on the air. Area code 202. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Shalom.
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Just chilling. Listen to the conversation.
Right.
Well, I'm a brother, and I kind of want to see this Obamacare at least given a fair shot, you know, try to work the bugs out. You know, we should at least give it some time, you know, a couple years. It's only been in effect for 3 months. I mean, it took Medicare 2 years to iron the bugs out of Medicare. So it's going to take some time. I'm all for it, you know. That's all.
Okay. All right. He said he's all for it. We're going to put your phone back on mute. We want to share with the reason why we're not for Obamacare. We want to let the brother know, you know, that Obamacare, anytime the government moves in and makes it mandatory for you to have insurance, and I know they do it in England because I lived in England for a while, and they do have mandatory insurance there. But as it stands against the Constitution, you know, we're not the kind of government where we can make our people. We're supposed to live in a free society where it should be by choice. It sounds like a beautiful thing that everybody will have health care and it will be a great thing. But at the end of the day, we also have to take into consideration that the Obamacare also brings the RFID radio chip that they're starting to implement into people. They will begin to bring this policy in as well. And as far as we are Bible readers, we know that we're not supposed to have any kind of chip in us of any kind in our hand or anywhere. So these are the reasons why we do not condone this type of thing. Brother Donny, you want to say something from there?
Actually, you understand, I know that, see, the Almighty is tremendous and magnificent. And he knows more than anything as to what's those things that he put in place. I believe that every black man that he put in place, from Marcus Garvey all the way up to Obamacare, has been put in place so that we be sustained until we can come together as a nation of people. You understand? Because without those people, we would have been annihilated. You understand? So we have to use some common sense. A lot of us don't have common sense, and so we have to manipulate and maneuver through all of these things that they put out. A lot of things that Marcus Garvey and Reverend Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and Martin Luther King and a whole host of us. We didn't agree with none of that stuff that all of the things that they said or did, but they were only in place so that we could sustain ourselves to this period right here. We have an obligation here from between ourselves. We want something to happen, then we got to make a move to make things happen. You understand? If we don't do nothing, we agree with everything that goes on, you understand, and we won't we always come out on the end. They brought about the Emancipation Proclamation at a particular point. They made us think that we was getting something, and we wasn't getting nothing. You understand? We have accepted the illusion of inclusion. You understand? And that's a quote from Umar Johnson. We have accepted the illusion of inclusion. You understand? You know, where Our women today, our children's mothers and everybody, they wearing all of these weaves and putting in their hair, and if they spoke to you on the phone, you couldn't tell who whether they white or black. You understand? So you understand they wanted to be included in this system, and that sustained our living, whether we know it or not. You understand? And it's not a good thing, but it sustained our living. We have to understand that. You understand? Now is our opportunity to do something about our existence. We need, look here, for in 1936, I think it was, or maybe, yeah, it was 1936, you understand, we only produced one half of 1% of the gross product. Here we are in 2014. We produce one half of 1% of the ghost product. We ain't went nowhere. We don't produce a damn thing. We have, excuse me, you understand, we have, we get $1 trillion, $1 trillion plus we put our hands on, and we don't have one thing that we can look forward to call our own. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I think the brother pushed one again. Let me open him up again. I'm sorry, area code 202, did you still have some things you wanted to say?
Yeah, I was going to talk about your show topic, the hatred of black woman, you know.
Okay.
I don't think brothers, I'm a black man, I don't think brothers hate black women. Like, personally, I think they don't like certain things that black women are doing, you know. But I don't think it's...
Like what?
It's, well, it's the disrespect that they're showing black men, and the abandonment of the black family, another thing. Weeds, another thing. Just the attitude in general that brothers see from sisters that brothers don't like. But, you know, it's not really hatred. A lot of sisters think it's hatred. It's not. It's just like... brothers are trying to correct some things and voice our displeasures, you know, but a lot of times sisters think it's hatred, or it's not. We're voicing our opinions on things we don't like that we see in modern day black women, you know. So I think we should have some more constructive dialogue, you know. Quit labeling brothers all haters.
Right, right. Well, I mean, you know, when you look, and I'm a black woman, I mean, I am a thoroughbred completely through and through. And one thing I could say, and this is something that I brought to our Hebrew Israelite brothers, our leaders, most black women are, most black men are strong natured. Do you agree? Are you there? I'm sorry, he must have hung up. His call got dropped. I'm not sure what happened, but we'll have him call back. But anyway, I look at it like this. Most of our black men are very strong-willed, strong-natured. For the most part, you can tell that they have, there's something in their DNA that makes them exceptionally strong. You know, we excel in all sports and all kinds of activities. We are usually the head. We run, we usually take, dominate a whole lot of ventures and go through a whole lot of avenues that we dominate. Do you agree, Brother Donny I?
I'm going to give you my view. My view here is,
okay,
is that this
well,
is not
no,
a new
no,
thing.
I know you got a wait. I know you got a view, but just answer my question. Do you agree that most black men are strong?
Yeah, I believe that they're strong-willed,
okay.
And that's why I want to bring my view, my point.
Okay, well, wait, let me finish. So
wait,
Tumchi.
The
reason why black women are strong is because we are of you. So for you, for a black man to produce a weak black woman is not going to work. Black men produce strong black women because it is in the – when you talk about Yehuda and you talk about real Yehuda and Levi and all of those tribes and Reuben and all of those sons that were created, those are black people that produce black men and women. So when you talk about the black woman being strong, she has no choice but to be strong because the black man is strong. So I think that the problem comes in at is because they put us out front and they've given us the opportunity to excel past our black men, and that it's an insult to their ego that we are able to do that. Now, if a black woman was smart, that would never come in between their relationship, because you can always take that opportunity and flip that opportunity around so that it does not come across that way. Because, you know, we are just as soft as the other nations are, but we're very strong when it comes to holding down our family. And had it not been for the strength of a black woman, where would our nation be right now? And
that
I don't know
true.
How we got here, and, you know, I don't want to spend the whole show on this, but it took the strong black mamas to hold it together.
Yeah. Well, see, I'm going to give you my point, my view. My view is that this is not a Johnny-come-lately situation. I mean, even for the last 30 years, these things have been put into place. You understand, where the black woman is not getting the respect that is due. How that happened is because black men have been put in positions where they have, if they didn't have no job, you understand, a lot of the brothers have been put in positions where they could be dominant. So they dominated the whole spectrum of things, you understand, including our women, you understand. And so what happens is that the woman wants to stand up. They see us going astray. And when we go astray after other women. During David's time, during Solomon's time, when they multiplied wives and other women of other nations, you understand? So that left the woman, his first wife, that left her without any say so or respect. You understand? We have not given the black woman her respect. We have, and because of our because black men have this macho understanding, you understand what I'm saying, that they wouldn't allow the woman to have any kind of say-so in the matter. Because what happens is we were fighting for our respect, because the black woman was getting during slavery time, you understand, the black woman had to stand for the man, you understand, because the man didn't have a say-so in the world. You understand? So black woman had to stand up for the man. Now, as they started coming back, they disrespected everything to try to gain their respect. Black men, I'm talking about. You understand? And so now the black woman sees that as they're coming back to gain their respects, they're getting put to the side. I can see that. And I don't know why nobody else can see that. And the black woman is not going to stand for it, because they saying, we put you first, and you putting us last. You understand? What black men are forgetting, you understand, that the black woman was the common sense factor. You understand?
Yes, absolutely.
You understand? Listen, I'm a black man. I love my women. I've had 1,000 of them. Well, I'm exaggerating, of course. But I'm saying, you understand, and I understand that I've misused and abused a lot of women, you understand, trying to gain my respect, you understand. You know, we put them out there in the front and then don't want to give them no respect when they come back. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hold on a minute. Area code 202, your line is open, but I'm going to open up area code 214. And give him an opportunity, or her, or whomever it is. Area code 214, go ahead. You're on the air. Hello? Area code 214, you're on the air. Go ahead. You push 1. Maybe they got have their phone on mute, but you know what? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm going to be able to get my point out here. Okay. I hear what you and the other gentleman is saying,
yeah.
You know. And, I mean, I can go anywhere on the Internet and on the TV every day, and I can hear this civil war, civil unrest between black men and black women. And basically it's always the same thing. I haven't heard anything different yet that, you know, what black men have to do, black men have to do this. Well, I don't really take sides of people, human beings, whether they be black, white, green, or whatever, on the things that they do. Now, we have black men out there. See, that's the thing. Most people come off and just say black men. So that's putting everybody in one bottle altogether. Now, you got black men out here that don't act right. you got black women out here that don't act right, and then both of them are going backwards and forwards on the internet blaming each other for their own choices in life. It's nobody's fault but that one individual. Now, I've had some not so good run-ins with black women. I don't hate them. No, I don't hate them. I mean, I still date black women. There's black women out there that still date black men that they had, you know, maybe a not so good run-in with. But what's happening out here, and as you mentioned in the first beginning, I don't know what your name is, but the host, you mentioned, you know, we need to get back and, you know, talk about, you know, show people that there's a positive image out here of black families together, the nucleus family, and there are a lot of black families out here everywhere doing very well. But what's happening is that the media and other people, they keep throwing fuel on the flames, blaming one or the other because, that's like a popular thing that everybody can talk about and throw rocks and stones at each other, you know, blaming this person and that person. And then, have people say, no, hey, I'm a black woman, so, hey, I'm going to stick with the black women. I'm a black man, so, I know everything about every black man. And that's not true. Unless you have met every black man on this planet and every black woman on this planet, I'm just talking just breaking it down, making it simple here. Unless you have met every one of them and counted and divided the ones that do bad and the ones that, are not, that are doing good. Just we can't base everything on, 15, 10 people we know, 3, 4 black men that we know, the relationships that someone come and talk to us about that had a bad relationship with a black man, this black man. I consider myself, a human being of a black race, of a people that I truly love, and I do my research on them. See, that's the reason I'm able to, if I go through something with one of my sisters or my brothers, I can overlook that because I love them more than I love the nonsense out here. Before I go putting them down, saying this, I'm going to uplift them and let them know, hey, you know what? You're great people. I know we haven't had, the best relationships. We're having a lot of breakdown in communication. It's like a total collapse in our communication when we talk with each other. It seems like the black women want to win, then the black men want to win. But the black men don't really hate the black women. I expect, me being a black man, I'm going to say what I expect from a black woman is to carry herself accordingly, to treat me with respect as I treat her with respect. I'm not here on this planet to try to take a position from a black woman or anything else. And as far as black women bypassing a lot of African-American men and a lot of stuff, well, actually, that's not true. And again, I do my research. They always say that it's more black men in prison than there is in college. It's, no, not true. That's just what they want you to think. If you go online, they have these statistics to that for 2014. There are more black men in colleges and trade school than there are in prison. And they have actually, we could really twist it around and we could say, we could start throwing stuff out there saying, well, let's see how many black women are in prison, and this and the other. But I don't see a lot of that, and there's a lot of black women in prison, but I don't see black men, I just haven't seen it yet to where they're saying, this many women in prison and I can't find a good woman, this and the other. And, the education thing, like I say, women bypassing men. See, there's a lot of women that may get these degrees, and when they come out, they can't get a job. I have met some that's working in retail behind the counter. I've met a waitress. So it's not about the education, because you still created yourself a bill. Now, you still have people in trades that make more money than people who get these education, whether it be a black man or black woman. By the time the black man and the black woman go to college for 4 years, that person in that trade, whether it be a black man or black woman, you know, I consider that to be educated because they use their brain, and now they're $500,000 ahead of you. And then you're still by $40,000 or $50,000 or $60,000. So we have to think about those little things. See, if we're going to communicate with each other, you know, as I said, we got to get past our past. You know, it's not every black man and it's not every black woman. You know, let's say, for instance, if you were to go on YouTube now.
I'm sorry.
Continue.
If you were to go on YouTube right now, okay, this is just a couple more seconds. If you were to go on YouTube right now and you were to look up twerking, okay, and you all know what that is, correct?
I didn't hear what you said. Say it again.
I said if you were to go on YouTube twerking and you look up twerking on YouTube, you know what twerking is, correct?
Flirting?
Yeah. Twerking. T-W-E-R-K, where the girls are shaking their butt real fast, that kind of stuff, right?
Well, I see that all the time.
Oh, okay, right. Now, some black women may say black men need to conduct themselves properly and they need to stand up. See, as I said, that what I expect out of black women, I don't want to see all that unnecessary stuff. Now, if you go on YouTube, there's a lot of...
Okay, I think we might have lost him, but what he was saying was when you go on YouTube, there's a lot of things that are going on with our black women, and I agree with that. I mean, we can't say that we know what every black man and every black woman in America feels, and again, we have to make this announcement that we are dealing with this from a nation standpoint, from the Hebrew Israelite nation standpoint, and from secular black America standpoint. And the reason why we say this, and I want to play this clip for you so you can kind of understand why we say these things. Just listen.
Before
to
you
this.
Play the clip, let me weigh in on that. Understand? I wanted to say is that we're not going to clear up for this. You understand? We open up a dialogue here. You understand? We need to have a sit down and with some people that are with some black women and some black men that could probably make a difference in when we come to a conclusion. You understand? Now, if it's a problem with black women and black men, I see it as a problem myself. You understand? If there's a problem, then we need to do certain things like that. And this just opens up a dialogue. And you can play your clip now.
I agree with you. I think that it's very good to have a dialogue going on at the same time, and we're going to do that. That's the whole purpose. And I'm sorry for Brother Erico 214. We lost you there for a minute, but we did kind of in your finish up your comment that you were making. But I think it's very important that we come together as a community, because from a biblical standpoint, when we are conscious of who we are, we know that we were given a mandate by the Most High that we were supposed to stick together as a nation. We were supposed to marry each other. We were supposed to multiply and build ourselves as a nation. And from a woman's standpoint, watching the media, because the media is a very big influence on our children. It's an influence on, it's basically engineered culture. It's engineered morality. It's engineered beliefs. All of the things that we look at every day is being engineered by certain people for us to react a certain way. So we have to bring these issues to the forefront to let you know that, no, yes, black women are very strong. I'm a very strong black woman, but I know my place. I know that when my husband is the head, I know these things, and these are the issues that we have to deal with. You're absolutely right. We need to get to our young women and tell our young women not to conduct themselves and twerk all over the place and shake their – I mean, that's all we've been done. It's the same thing that they did to us in slavery. which I think we said last week, that there is a clip out that, a Hebrew brother put together about the sisters that were on the actual slave ship, and that these sisters were made to dress up in these little skirts with this, these little G-strings or whatever between their butts, and they were twerking for the master, and he would come around and see which one twerked the best or shook the best, and that's how he decided to choose whichever one he was going to take with him. So now, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that's going on now has been going on, and the same thing that was done in my generation, the elder women sat us down and said, you know, this is not how we conduct ourselves. This is not how we carry ourselves. We have to do the same thing for this generation. It has to be done, because if all they see is what they see, then they're going to think it's okay. And no, I don't think that – I don't want my sons to meet a young woman that feels like that the only way she can make a living is to slide down a pole. Absolutely not. We are royalty. We are kings and queens. And because we've been here for so long, we've been in this country for almost 400 years. And because we've been here for so long, we have assimilated into this culture, this engineered culture, and they've given us this culture when really our background is from royalty. So that's all we're trying to do, is bring back the information to let you know we're royalty.
Yeah, you forget about that 2,000 years that we spent in Africa, for lack of a better word. We spent 2,000 years, so we don't have any kind of knowledge of ourselves. You know what I'm saying? And when we got here, we took on the ways of the other nation, of the heathen, the one that kept the one that brought us here captive. We took on all of those ways. You understand? We became Christians. We became Muslims. We became Hebrew Israelites. We became everything. You understand? So our understanding is scattered. And guess what? You understand? In all of our understandings, and we say that we understand whatever religion that we say that we are part of, we still can be swayed by somebody else telling us something else. You understand? You know, we believe that up to a certain point. You understand? Then we go off and try to bring in something else. You understand? Which is out of the norm. Once we get out of the norm, you understand what I'm saying? It becomes a problem. So the point is that we got it. We opening up a dialogue here where we can talk about these things. We need to gather together like you said, a think tank. You understand? And we need to discuss these things and put them in practice. You understand? Whatever conclusion that we come to, you understand, what we vote on, you understand, that's what we going to do. That's what we going to teach, because our children is at stake here. You understand?
Yes.
We can do whatever we want to do, but we got to remember that our children is at stake. You understand?
Absolutely.
Hallelujah.
Absolutely. And you also have to remember that, like he said, that we have a generation that we're raising, that we have mothers that work, and the television is the babysitter, unfortunately, and the children watch the television, and they're pushing the homosexual agenda. And for the other nation, that's fine. They don't follow Yah. They're not a part of Yah's law. But we, as a nation, knowing who we are, that we are the people of the book, we were given a law. And that law mandated that man was not allowed to lay down with man, and women were not allowed to lay down with women, and the cost of doing something like that was death. So even though it is condoned in this land where we have assimilated for almost 400 years, we still are bound by that law to let that law govern us as a people. So we have to come up against these things to let our people know, the young mother that's listening, the family that's listening, take some time away from the TV. Cut the TV off. Spend some time with your children. Start teaching your children about our culture, our heritage. Most of our children don't even know anything about the transatlantic slave trade. Most of our children don't even know that we were brought over here by force. Most of our children today, if you were to ask an average 8-year-old, how did we get to this land, 90%, I won't even say 90%, I'll give you some grace. 50% of them probably don't even know that we came over here as slaves. because they have taken our story and they have just dumbed it down to the point where eventually they want us to assimilate in this culture like everybody arrived here. This is not our land. This is not where we came from. Our ancestors were brought here by force. We have a land that belongs to us. And the law, and the word says that we will go back to our own land. Most of our family members don't even teach it. They
in
don't
fact,
teach it. We have gotten so. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I'm interrupting you. I'm so sorry. You understand? Continue.
Yeah, I'm just saying most of we need to take the time to start, because guess what? If you look at it, they're always talking about the Holocaust. They're always talking about how terrible the Holocaust was, and oh, it was so atrocious, and so many of our people were killed, and we were murdered, and we had mass graves, and they were burning us, and they put us in gas chambers and stuff. Nobody's ever been paid for the transatlantic slave trade, Matthew.
Nobody. Not one soul. Ain't none of them people that we know of that was in a transatlantic slave trade, you understand, that took us slaves, have ever stepped up and even apologized. None of them. You understand?
Nobody.
And guess what? You understand? You know, they're not going to do that. You understand? So we have to do something about our own self. We have to take our destiny in our own hands. You understand? It doesn't matter whether you're Messianic, Hebrew, Israelite, Muslim, Pan-African, you understand? We all suffer the same fate. If we don't do nothing, we all going to be perished. We understand? We all going into them concentration camps. You understand? So we need to try to get ourselves together and talk about these things and put something into practice for our children. That is our main concern. At any, you know, if you got a child, you understand, you need to teach him differently. You can't let him continuously fall into the hands of these folks right here, because they don't mean us no good. Period.
And let me make an announcement.
Yeah.
Let me make an announcement real quick, Brother Donnie. Area code 202, your mic is open. Area code 214, your mic is already open. And if anyone else would like to join in on this conversation, we invite you to please push 1. So that we can open, because we're just talking, and that's what this show is all about.
Okay.
We give a lot of information about end-time events and the things that are happening. And one thing I wanted to announce is that I found out today, and we're going to get back on our subject, but I found out today that the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, is going around to the organic farmers, the white farmers that are farming in the land, that are farming and bringing organic food in the land. They're going around and they're trying to close these farms down because they want the farmers to use other sorts of fertilizers other than manure, and they're trying to promote GMOs. These are the things, these are genetically modified organisms, food that they're feeding us. Also, I found out that in certain states, the federal government has made it prohibited children from bringing brown bag lunches from home to school to eat, because they're promoting these foods in the schools. So the reason why we're doing these shows is to get this information out to our people, to let our people know it's time to start paying attention, people, so that we can start educating our children. We need our own schools. We need our own, I mean, as much as we can for as long as we can, because eventually we're going to have to get up out of here. I mean, because when you really start thinking about it, they are closing rank to the point where they are very rapidly taking away our civil liberties. So, you know, when we come on here and we talk about the black man and the black woman and the black family and the structure, we need to come back to ourselves so that we can start preparing our people's minds, because Christianity knows nothing about the wilderness. They've never heard of it.
You know what?
All they know about is the rapture.
Yeah.
They don't
know
anything about the wilderness.
As a 47-year-old black man, I understand everything you're saying, but I don't think we can build with black women, modern-day black women. I just don't think we can build with them. I just think a lot of sisters are into materialism. They're into cars and jewelry and shopping. I don't think we can build a black nation with them. I think the black queen.
No, we can't. I think because brothers can. I talk to brothers my own age, and brothers are really getting away from black women. They're marrying other women. They just don't think they can build with them. So I don't know what we can do. I don't see it changing anytime soon. I don't know what we're going to do as a black nation.
Hey, let me try to weigh in on that right there.
Yeah.
See, it's not no over the night poof moment. You understand?
Yeah.
We're going to have to work at this. You understand? We have to pull in people of like minds that want to see the change. You understand?
Yeah.
And guess what? If
what?
We could, I know in my heart, I know that the Almighty will bless their hands and we'll get more people and he will show us favor so that we progress in that area. Everybody is not going to latch on. You understand? Everybody's not going to be a part of any kind of change because we've become complacent. You understand? And so everybody's not going to grab that. But people of the like minds, you understand, that's what the think tank is about. You understand? Everybody's not going to go out to the think tank. They think it's crazy. You understand? And they think that, oh, that ain't going to work. Of course it's not going to work if you're not going to put no hand in it. Of course not.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is this. I don't think we have the willing participants to do it.
It doesn't take but a few.
We
forget. We don't even have any understanding about the Almighty. He is our true and living King. He is the one that he fashioned us after Him. He made us after Him. You understand? And all through the generations, if you read the scriptures at all. You understand? You'll see that he followed a bloodline, and throughout that bloodline, he made things happen so that we would sustain ourselves. You understand? Right now, guess what he's doing? This is the Almighty orchestrating all of this stuff. You understand?
Well,
he got
on,
you
man.
And
oh,
me.
Oh,
and
okay, hold on. Can I interject one? I'm really not religious, and I think it's disrespectful to be preaching to me. You don't know my religion or what I'm background. I think you shouldn't be doing that. It's dangerous. And I think we as black folks need to stay away from religion. I think
let me ask
divide
a question.
Us.
You understand?
Yeah,
how
go
do
ahead.
You think that we, you know?
Okay. Let me say something again. Let me chime in a minute here because we have to make it very known who we are and what we are as a people. We're a nation, not a religion. We're a nation.
That's right. We need to stay away from religion.
Right.
Stay away from religion.
Okay.
Stay away from it.
Let me finish. Let me finish, please. The book that we read in that Bible, we consider that to be our history book that gives us information. Now, I want to respond to what you said. You said most of the brothers your age do not deal with black women anymore.
They don't.
And
they don't want to deal with them.
Well, I understand that, but let me say something. I understand that, but let me say something. It is my job as an older black woman to teach the young women. So if we don't start from somewhere, we will get nowhere. So the whole purpose of opening up the dialogue between the black man and the black woman is so that we can bring those young black women and sit their behinds down and explain to them how they have taken away our virtue by the consumerism that's going on in this nation. The things that we have gravitated to, those things that we feel make us important, have really taken away from our beauty, have taken away from our virtue, and taken us away from the power to stand next to our black men. And that's my job to do that. Now, for the black man's job, is to be able to say, okay, well, there's hope for all of us.
Hold on, stop. For one thing, your job is to correct the women. Our job as men is to correct men. You have no right to be talking about what black men need to do. It's you're out of place there. Your job is to correct women.
From a black woman's standpoint, I have every right to say how I feel because you took the time to say to me that black men just don't want to deal with black women anymore. Well, I can turn that around and say, well, black women don't want to deal with black black men because you guys are just too rough and too harsh. You are gravitating towards the other women because you don't want anybody to challenge you on some of the decisions that you make. And the part that we are able to and the part that we're able to be strong, you don't want to have to deal with it. So I have something to say when it comes to black men, too. Everybody has to clean up. It's not just a one-sided situation. Everybody has to clean themselves up.
Oh my God. The problem
comes in is when we don't see that, then we have a problem. Everybody has to clean up on both sides. We have work to do on every end. Again, if you have a question or a comment or concern, please feel free to push 1. We want to hear what you have to say. But when it comes to our people as the Hebrew Israelite nation, those that are unconscious know we do not condone marrying other people out of different nations. No, we do not condone putting down our black women or our black men. And no, yes, we do have something to say about it, and yes, we're going to deal with it. We are definitely going to deal with it. Brother Donia, you have something to say?
Kane, I wanted to say, you know, you understand now, I don't know your name. What did you say your name was, brother?
He didn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just wanted to say that.
Greg,
hey,
but you
what did you say your name was?
Greg.
I still,
go
you
ahead,
woke
brother
up.
Donia.
Huh?
Go ahead, Brother Donia. Go ahead.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
What did you say?
I wanted to say is that, see, this opens up a dialogue. This gives us an opportunity to talk, you understand? After we have this talk and we have not come to a conclusion, then we need to sit down with, you know, with the younger generation, men and female, older generation, men and female, and let's just discuss this here so that we can come to a conclusion as to how we going to deal because our children are at stake. If we don't do that, then we just, what we're doing is just beating up our gums. You understand? We just talking, you understand, and talking in the wind. You understand? Beating a dead horse. You understand what I'm saying? Because it don't make no difference because you're going to have your understanding and whoever is going to have their understanding. You understand? So we got to come to some kind of conclusion here. If it's a problem, and I see it as a being a problem, black and woman problem, you understand, black man and black woman problem, you understand, then we need to discuss it and find out how we can fix this problem. Remember now, we've been in all the captivities all over the earth, you understand? I'm talking about black folks, you understand, and that's not no religious view, you understand? That's a factual view, you understand? And we made it through then, and we'll make it through now. It's just that it's going to be a whole different ball game now because I'm sick to death of it myself, you understand, of how we're being treated, how we treat ourselves. Hallelujah. And see, one thing that I'm finding out here is that it's our responsibility. It's not nobody else's responsibility to fix our problems. Hallelujah.
Can I speak? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay, this is the 214. Okay, now what I just heard, you know, is exactly what I was speaking on, you know. All I heard was, it was just like, you know, I'm not judging anyone. It was just like I felt so much hate coming from that conversation that those two had just now. And that's exactly what I mean. It's all over the internet. It's all on the television. Every time I see something like that, I get it's the same feeling. It's like hate. Remember, I just spoke on that. It's just as if men want to win, the women want to win, and it's not even about women.
How did you get that out of that? I said that it's a man and woman's problem.
Sir, I didn't say you. I said the other conversation. I wasn't referring to you. I said the two people that was just talking.
Oh, okay. I was just talking. Great. I'm sorry.
You know? So what I'm saying is that, see we sometimes we get caught up. We have to kind of, you see, I'm a calm person, and I listen well to people. And after a point, it's like, you know, if you can listen to that person or not, you have to determine, do they make any sense or do they just want to fuss and fight or whatever? And then that at that point, you know, some people just don't deal with it. They like, you know, it's just the same thing. No one made any sense. They just want to fuss and fight. But what I'm trying to say is that that's the same thing I just heard from the people with, that were just speaking. You know, I felt like it was some type of two opposite magnets or something, where the positive and the negative, you know, just, you know, it's just pushing towards each other. And that's the conversations that I hear between black men, some black men, and some black women. Now, probably what the gentleman was trying to say is, now, excuse me, sir, I don't know what your name is, but you're the host, I believe. I'm not sure. You said you believe in the word and Almighty, correct?
That is correct, and my name is Adonia.
Okay, Adonia. And you said that everything that, you know, the Almighty written, he knew what was going to happen. Am I correct?
I said that he's orchestrating all of this.
Okay. Now, if he's orchestrating all this, now I'm not trying to compete on anything. Like I say, you know, I certain things I like to read a lot. Now, if he orchestrates everything that he wrote in the Word, you know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Ezekiel at all. But in Ezekiel, like anything else, basically, the Lord talked about the lewdness of the women and how they went after the soldiers and so on and so on. And what happened is the Lord basically said, Lord Jehovah basically said that because of the two sisters, their fornication, their lewdness and everything, he said that he brought his wrath against them. And he said, I will turn your brothers against you, those that you despise, those that you hate. And what's happening right now, you know, is that's exactly what he's doing. Now, I'm pretty sure everybody's going to twist it around and interpret it in any kind of way, but it's right there in black and white, where he said that he's going to turn the brothers against their sisters because of their lewdness and the way they act. And they're really not really obeying God's word. And they're basically defiling themselves. And I see a lot of that stuff going on. And like I say, I'm not knocking black women. No, I'm just saying it's some that's out there doing that. And what's happening is it's like boiling over. Now you have people out there that's 40, 45 years old calling themselves cougars. You have guys out there calling themselves sugar daddies. And no one seems to have standards, but everybody has standards. See, I don't understand that. Women and men have standards, but they don't have standards. And they know it. They know this. And they see it. They see what they're doing, but they don't really care. They don't really care to a certain point. Not all of them, some. But that's what's happening. It's right here in the Word, in Ezekiel. You start out at Ezekiel 23, and that's where it says that,
okay,
you know, turn these brothers in. And you know, I'm not fighting them. I'm not trying to argue. If black women want to do whatever they want to do, that's on them. If those certain black men want to do whatever they want to do, then that's on them. The people that want to do right, they're going to do right, okay? They're going to do right. They're going to live right, and they're not going to be out there fussing and fighting, trying to win and say, you need to do this, you need to do that. You lead by example. Be the change that you want to be, and everything else will fall in place. So, like I say, I'm not taking...
Okay. Okay, now let me chime in on that, because we have to keep our comments to a minimum, but I do want to respond to the gentleman that we were having a conversation earlier, and I'm sorry that you took it as though we were coming at each other from an aggressive standpoint, but what we're trying to do is encourage our black women to come to the table and sit down. And also, we have area code 011611. Your mic is open. And if I'm not mistaken, I think that might be Mahalia from Israel.
But your mic is
I'm here.
Open. If you'd like to chime in on. Shalom, Shalom says she's calling in from Israel, you guys. I just wanted to say, you know, that we have a responsibility as black women to be able to sit down with our women, the ones who are, our behavior is questionable. And we have to give them knowledge because a lot of our women and our young people are not familiar with our heritage. So I'm going to tell you a story. A young lady contacted me last week, and she was telling me about her life and some of the things that she went through in her life. And she said, do you know how powerful it was for me to find out that I was a Hebrew Israelite? I was actual people of the book, that how it changed my life. So, you know, it's life-changing when the truth is exposed to you. And some people will change their ways and some people won't. But all I was trying to say to the brother is, you know, when you make a comment that I don't think most of my black friends or most of my or black men are not going to deal with black women because XYZ, then the black woman also has an issue with the black man, and we all should be able to sit down at the table without arguing with each other and be able to express it. But most of all, it's the curse. I mean, because when you read Deuteronomy chapter 28, from verses 15 on down to 68, all of those things identify with us as a people, and this is the curse that the Most High put us under for disrespecting him and not following his law. So you're right. Ezekiel probably has a lot to do with it too, but Deuteronomy 28 is the main issue why we're in this condition and why we're in this country in the first place. Sister Mahalia, you want to chime in on that?
Well, right now, Shalom, everyone. It's good to
shalom,
be with
shalom.
You. I have to apologize first because I had a few technical issues and I missed the first the introduction of the show. So I'd like to just listen in to sort of catch up and then maybe chime in later.
Shalom, shalom.
Okay.
This is Adonia. Let me add something to this. I think that what you're doing with Sister Yaina and gathering the sisters together, you put together a think tank with the sisters and put some stuff on paper. Then we get the brotherhood, you understand, to sit down with the sisterhood and let's try to iron out some of our differences. I think that would help considerably. Hallelujah.
And I agree with you. I do agree with you. You know, that's the whole purpose of the think tank. The think tank is a well-rounded event that's going to take place, and we're looking for it to be. It's going to take place in Atlanta, and we're going to do it in September, but we're thinking around the end of October, the 1st of November, would be an excellent opportunity for us to do that. But we're going to check, like I said, we're still in contact with a few people, some of the real movers and shakers in Atlanta to try to help us get this together, but I will make an announcement on it. But this is why we need to have these sorts of venues for everyone to be able to sit down and talk and come to the table, because if you don't know who you are, then from the standpoint of just being an African-American, yes, you have a concept and you have a way of thinking that sounds politically correct, and it's okay. You know, it's okay to say from an African-American standpoint that, you know, we've just decided not to even deal with the black woman anymore. We've just decided to go in a whole other direction. But understanding your heritage and your lineage has everything to do with everything that we do, because we have to come back together as a nation. Because, as I said last week, when you think about the transatlantic slave trade, none of us are politically correct in our family structure, because they took a husband from a wife, and they studded the husband out with different women, and they basically allowed the woman to breed with different men to bring forth what product? They brought forth individuals to work the fields and to be productive in picking the cotton and things like that. So all of our family structures have been tore up from the very beginning. And these are the things that we have to understand with the bringing, coming back together as a nation. We have to instill these things and begin to teach our children that we are a nation of kings and priests.
That is correct. I couldn't have said it better.
I agree with that.
You know, so that's the whole purpose of the think tank. That's the whole purpose of us coming on the show with topics like these, because this is not a moralistic thing or pro-choice. I can choose whoever I want to marry. No, we have regulations and stipulations as a nation of people, as his chosen people, as the apple of his eye, to go through and conduct ourselves in a certain manner. And we know that we are the people of the book. We are the kings and the queens and the Levi priests and the 12 sons of Yaakov. We are the 12 tribes of Israel. And it is identified in Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verses 15 on down to 68 that identify us as those people. So what we're trying to do is bring that knowledge to our people as a whole so we can come together as a nation and proceed to the next level.
That is absolutely correct. If we don't do nothing about our condition, you understand, we're going to perish as a nation or as an individual or as a black American. You understand, we're going to perish. You understand? You know, we might as well put our head between our legs and kiss our butt goodbye. You know, we got,
you know,
don't do nothing about it.
You know what's so sad? You know what's so sad is that I ran into a brother, and I'm not going to call his name because most of you know him, so I won't say his name online. But there's a brother that came into the knot. He married a woman of the other nation. He married a woman from a whole other nation. And I don't like to say white women, Mexican women, or identify anybody by that, so I just say women of other nations. He married a woman of another nation, and when he became conscious as to who he was, it put a strain on their relationship.
Yep. Yep.
It's,
I can imagine.
To the point where they're not together anymore, and I'm like, wow, so if we can prevent this, because this knowledge is powerful. It's powerful to the point where it changes your whole life around.
That is correct.
Can I comment?
Kane.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? I hear what the young lady said. See there. You know, and it works out like that sometimes. You know, and again, it still has nothing to do with just black men. That's why I always say black men and black women, because sometimes we get the impression that, I mean, it's not that you're doing it, but when some people do it, it just sounds like the same old song. It sounds like you're just bashing black men because you don't include the fact that there are black women who have married over into the other nation again. So therefore, at that point, because you said you all want to have an open dialogue, you know, I'm just trying to give you my perspective of what I hear and what I always hear. It sounds like the same old song. So at that point, a lot of brothers are not going to listen because it sounds like you're starting off bashing. That's why whenever I speak with someone and it's concerning something like that, I say black men and black women. Because, you know, black men and black women are not angels, either side. Both of them have done each other dirty. Both of them have done things to the other that's wrong. But we get stuck up on this thing, and no one is ever going to understand, because it sounds like when you constantly say black men and you come up with stories about black men, if you're a woman talking, then the black man, he's not going to want to listen to you because it sounds like nonsense. Now, when you have a black man that comes up that says the same thing about black women and come up with his story, guess what? Black women with any kind of common sense is not going to listen to him. So that's where one of the biggest problems is, and I hear it all the time. And I just study and I listen. Now, you know what? They're going backwards and forwards, bashing each other because they do not include their own gender. That's where you're going wrong. And no one is hearing that. Everybody only want to hear the black men this. Everybody only want to hear the black women this. All on YouTube, all day, all on Facebook, the same thing. No one ever says both. Well, there are some people that do say both. I forgot the sister's name. That I believe she was connected with Malcolm X or someone like that. But Sister Shabazz, I think that's her name. You know, but that woman right there, I love when she speaks, you know, because she go after both of them. It doesn't matter. They don't take fat.
Let me weigh in on that. You understand? Let me see. We got to make a. We got to stop the hurting. We got to come to some kind of consensus here. How do we correct this situation? We can't just sit back and just continuously let it go on. So what we're trying to do here with this is get a dialogue going on, you understand, and then bring your differences to the think tank so that we can work it all out, you understand, and come to some conclusion on how we can fix this stuff. Because we can't let this stuff just go on. You understand? The Almighty said that. I ain't gonna bring it. You understand? But we gotta have a. We gotta do something in our own behalf. See, what we're stuck on the United States way, America. What do they call it? Diplomacy. America's diplomacy, you understand, and that's all we know. We don't know nothing else, or we don't even try to think about anything else, you understand. All we know is that we're gonna do what we want to do, and that's it. You understand what I'm saying? But there's a law of the land. There's a law that the Creator had put in place, and we're gonna go back to that. You understand? And we're gonna deal with that. You understand? It's just that. We got to be the ones to put it in place. We got to stop all of this old nonsense about, you understand, marrying into other nations and all of that stuff. We got to bring our children up in a different frame of mind, you understand? We got to stop them kids, the women on the pole and, you understand, wearing them short dresses, and got to stop them guys from wearing all of them baggy-ass pants, you understand? I can't even see how they could how that could be so comfortable, you understand? And stop killing one another, you understand? We got to figure out all of this stuff, man, and the only way we can do it is that we've got to work on these things, man, and there is no magic bullet that's going to make this stuff just go away, you understand? And then turning our back, you understand, don't make it not be so. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I'm going to let Mahalaya come in just a moment, and I would like to say to the brother, you know, we appreciate the feedback and everything, but Brother Donnie, I don't ever be afraid to give the scriptures, because the scriptures is what identifies us. The scriptures is what foretells us who we are. The scripture is where it tells us our story, how we got here. That Bible is what tells us when we're going to leave. That Bible tells us what's going to happen, and for everybody who does not agree and is not interested in hearing it, this may be the wrong show for you, because we do believe in that book, and we do believe in Yah, and the only thing that's going to turn this thing around is for us to come back to the knowledge of who we are, and for us to fall down on our knees and begin to worship the Most High, the Creator, and ask for forgiveness as a nation, and that begins with the knowledge of our ethnicity, because we are not African American people. Matter of fact, what's an African? I mean, because that is the name of a European man. So when you talk about an African American people, we are not African American. We are Hebrew Israelites. We are the direct descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We are the descendants of those 12 sons that he had by those four women. So our job as a nation of Yehuda and as being Hebrew Israelites is to bring this knowledge to our men and our women. And yes, I did say that we both need help. We both need to change. And that's why the women have created an organization to be able to help the women. Now, once we get ourselves together, then the Most High, someone has to step up and tell and get the men together, because it can't be the woman. It has to be the men to say we need to change the way we look at our women, or we need to change what we do. So that's the whole purpose of our existence, the Nation of Yehuda, the think tank that we're having. Like I said, we're going to deal with multiple issues. We're going to deal with gun violence and how our children are killing each other. But you know what? All of that's in the scriptures. We're going to deal with the loss of our identity. Where do we find that at? In the scriptures. Some people may not care to know, and if you don't, then this is not for you. But don't ever be afraid to give scriptures on this show, because that is our book that identifies who we are, and we stand by it. Sister Mahalaya, you have something you want to say?
Well, I would just like to say that, again, you know, I do have some personal feelings on that, and if in sharing those or my perspective, I'm repeating something that somebody else already said, I have to apologize in advance. I'm looking at this whole thing from my perspective. You know, I have a YouTube channel, and I have been sort of like in a bubble because I've lived in Israel for so many years, and I have not been a part of the American landscape. So I was not aware of the hatred between the sexes that was going on in America, and specifically the hatred that the black man is seemed to be mounting for the black woman. And I was totally caught off guard, and I did a video on it. And I was very surprised by the amount of vitriol that came back at me as a result of that video. Because in the video, you know, you can say, you can give the black man all the accolades you want. You can put him on his throne and applaud him and this, and you will still get hatred and animosity from some brothers. And, you know, you will get some very negative responses. And, you know, that was the whole purpose of making the video. I don't know and I don't understand where it's all coming from. And even just broaching the subject, I became a target. But from my perspective, someone is living here in Israel, and I look out my window and I see so many different people worshiping in Israel and different women. I look at the Arab women, and I look at my sisters that were from the Hebrew Israelite community. I look at the Jewish women here and how they're treated. And I look at the condition of women worldwide, and I have to say that, you know, in my opinion, it just begs to question, what is the position of the woman worldwide? This is not an isolated predicament. You know, women worldwide are being subjugated. You know, we can look at it in the black community and say, well, it's worse for us, and indeed it is. But women worldwide are being subjugated. And, you know, I just look and I ask the question, back in Eden, back in the garden, when you go to the scriptures and it talks about Adam and Eve, they were naked in the garden. So they were pure, they were innocent. And then something happened. You know, so it's not the man and the woman being so much a superior or inferior, you know, because she was taken from man, so to speak. Now I don't know, because I don't get into all of the scriptures, but to me I think God is just simple. So when you look at the male and female relationship, they're supposed to, in the way I look at it, they're supposed to be partners. There's supposed to be a beauty. There's supposed to be a duality there. You know, men can't survive on the planet without women, and women can't survive on the planet without men. We're supposed to be partners for each other. So how did we get to this point where we are today? You know, women are walking around, and they're walking around, and they're covering themselves. You know, like in Africa, before the Europeans came, they weren't covering up themselves in shame. They were walking around bare-breasted. You know, they didn't look upon themselves in that way, you know. And even today, many of them are still doing the same thing. They are adopting all of these foreign ideas and belief systems about themselves, you know, and taking on a lot of perverse ideologies, what have you, doctrines. So, you know, this is something that we have to look at as a worldwide predicament, and we have to ask, you know, women need to come more to the forefront and make themselves known. And we have to accept that this is a male-dominated world that we are living in. And until we inject more of the divine feminine into what's going on our planet and in solving the issues on our planet of pollution and all of the problems that we're having on the planet. You know, it just won't take root because she is an integral part, Mother Earth. We're talking about Mother Earth. She's an integral part of the think tank. So, you know, like I said, no matter how humble we come, no matter how long the dresses are, no matter how much we cover our faces, and it never seems to be enough, you know, because men are still going to say, well, you know, women want too much power, and now they want to try to be a man, and I don't think women want that. I think women just want the wars to end. I think any woman that gives birth understands that, you know, every human being walking on this planet is like her child. You know, she is a vessel of unconditional love. So, you know, like I said, I'm hoping that I'm not saying something that somebody's already said and being redundant, but I just want to say that from a broader perspective, we have to look at the reality of what's happening on our planet, and women have to know and understand that she must come to the forefront and work along with coming forth with some real positive solutions. We can't leave anybody out of the equation. We have to admit the areas where we need to make the corrections, and we need to go forth and work on it. You know, even in the community, you know, the community that I was a part of for so many years where a brother could have 7 wives, you know, there was so much abuse that was there. You know, and the sisters were so humble and so willing and so ready to serve their lords. We called them lords. We served them on trays. We did their hair. We did their feet. You know, but what happened? You know, so in my view, I feel as though this is something that we're going to have to really take a close look at. And I don't think that it's anything that's going to happen overnight. I think that this is going to be something that's going to take many, many years to work on, and we need to get that think tank together so we can, you know, start the journey back to oneness.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, let me ask you a question. So you say that in Africa that they didn't cover up. So they, because, you know, you see across the globe, you see some women that you can't even see anything but their eyes, you know. And then somebody told me that Sarah actually walked around covered up and you couldn't see anything. I said, that's hard to believe, because then how would Pharaoh know how beautiful she was if everything was covered up? I mean, you know, and then we'll have guys that have lived abroad come back and say, you know, we'll be glad when our women leave America because they're westernized, so that they can come over and adopt these other cultures, because we do see a lot of women that are completely covered up from head to toe, and you can't see anything but their eyes. So this was not a part of the culture that you studied and found out.
Okay, let me weigh in over here. You understand? One thing that we got to understand.
Wait, brother. Oh. So is that a part of the culture?
There are many areas of Africa. There are many areas of Africa right now where women they still walk around bare-chested. And it's documented that when the Europeans came and they saw that, they were astounded, you know. And in some cases, they went back to Europe, and it became a fad in Europe where the women began to because when I was in high school, I remember doing a report on some of the European garments and how they'd have a long dress all the way to the floor, all of this material flowing, and then the breasts were completely exposed. So they learned a lot from us, but everybody knows that. But we were the ones from the Garden of Eden. We were the ones that were living in paradise. We didn't need all of those clothes. We were innocent. We were pure. And when you know, the people that have a problem with the human body, the people that have a problem with a woman's beauty, you know, these are generally the people that later on you find out they have all of these, you know, they are so extreme in their views. They're the ones that are going out dealing with bestiality. They're the ones that's going out dealing with homosexuality and all of this other stuff because that cannot accept the beauty that God created and put on this planet. There is nothing obscene. There is nothing dirty. There is nothing ugly or sinful about the human body itself. And I'm not saying that to try to say that we all need to be rolling around in the streets having orgies. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying the beauty, the human body itself is a beautiful thing. We all came into the world naked, you know. So, you know, we put these sinful ideas and thoughts in our mind when we were walking around in Eden without all of that fear and, with, you know, nobody was being raped. Nobody even knew that they were naked.
That's
so,
good.
You know, this is something that we adopted, you know, and you know, I'm not saying that a woman should walk around in today's society totally naked, but at the same time, I don't think that she should be ashamed of her beauty, and neither should a man be ashamed of his. You know, God made us beautiful to adore one another, not to disrespect one another, but to adore one another, and that we are his creation.
Yes. That's good. Brother Donnie, I go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and you know, to make a summary in my view here is that when we have these differences of opinion and are stuck on different doctrines and everything, we must take it to the Almighty, because what happens is that We'll go to scriptures to make a point for whatever point we're trying to make. You understand? And then somebody else could go to the scripture to refute that. You understand? But the clarity of the matter, you understand, will have to come from the Almighty. Now, if we go to the Almighty, you understand, and bring our views and our differences of opinion and our differences of doctrine, you understand, I believe in my heart that the Almighty will let us know what, who, what, and where is the right way to go. You understand? Other than that, man, we're going to be at odds with one another forever. Now, one other thing here, too, is that, like I said, the Nashim, the women of our society need to get together, write down on the paper their views, their differences, their things that they dislike and they like, bring it to the brotherhood, you understand? And we all sit down and we talk about these things and try to hash out a conclusion on how we going to conduct ourselves. I still say it's about our children, you understand? And if we don't do nothing, you understand, we're going to lose our children in this generation, and then they're going to have to fight to try to get out of this, to bring something out of the next generation. So we need to try to do something in this generation. All of this stuff is going down into the Book of Remembrance, and we're going to sit up there and be in the Book of Remembrance and find out that we didn't do nothing. There was a problem, and we didn't do nothing about it. Hallelujah.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think that this is very good dialogue. Like I said, the whole purpose of the think tank is that we're going to have in Atlanta, and for the sisters that are in Brooklyn and the brothers, you know, like I said, I want to make the announcement again. Mahalia, thank you so much for the interview that we did. It opened up opportunities, and we've had about 6 or 7 different people to contact us that want to help to build the Nation of Yehuda. We actually have an attorney that has come on board. He is come conscious that he's a Hebrew Israelite. We have an event planner that has come to the table, a couple of IT guys, and a couple of other people that are also wanting to come to help us get this thing together and to organize the think tank and actually build the Nation of Yehuda so that we can start doing things in our community and bringing our people conscious, because our main goal is to bring our people conscious and bring our people together so that we understand who we are, whose we are, and what our goal and our mission is. And he told us to gather ourselves together, O nation undesired. So we have to come together. We are not going to believe everything the same. We will not have the same beliefs, But we have to divorce the engineered culture that has been given to us by this land. Everything that we've experienced over here has been engineered by the media, by the music industry, by Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
They have engineered our culture. They've engineered our music. They've engineered our history. Everything that we've seen about ourselves have been engineered, and we have to divorce that so that we can bring truth, because truth has already been unleashed, and it's going through the land like wildfire. So, again, I just want to say thank you for doing the interview with me. It opened up the opportunity, you know, for me to meet a lot of people. And I want to also make the announcement, don't forget, after the show today, we're having our first board meeting for the Nation of Yehuda. So we are expecting to have at least 25 people on the line that are a part of our direct board that we have given titles to, that are able. We're getting ready to launch out into the community. And the think tank is going to be designed so that we bring everyone to the table, and that we have people that have volunteered. Now, listen to this, you guys. I had someone email me the other day and said, how do we donate money to the Nation of Yehuda? I almost fell out of my chair. I was like, wow. I've been begging for so long. I really did. I almost fell out of the chair. Like, excuse me?
Hallelujah.
They were like, show us what we need to do to donate money to the Nation of Yehuda, because we want to help to build it. And I was like, wow. Okay. Well, maybe somebody's listening. So,
yeah,
you
was lost for words, weren't you?
I was lost, okay? I didn't know what to say. I was like, what? So, Mahalaya, that's all because of you and the thing that you've done to open up, to give us some exposure and, you know, to do some things. And she's agreed to be a part of the Nation of Yehuda and help us do some things. So we are moving forward. And for the ladies in the audience that are listening, the organization, we won't give the name yet because we're still putting all our paperwork together, but we are building an organization specifically for women so that our women can come together. We are going into the nightclubs and the strip clubs and the whole stroll and all the places that our women are and invite our women to come and just talk. You know, we're going to talk, we're going to sip tea, and we're just going to do girly stuff. So, you know, we're putting together a girl. We have another organization that's completely set up for self-esteem issues. So we're putting some things together to try to help our women, because our young women need to be taught. Some of them didn't have mothers. Some of them didn't have guidance. Some of them didn't have the things that they needed. So we're going to put those things into play. We're also establishing a gigantic fashion show. I hate to say Atlanta because everybody wants to go to Atlanta. We might have to do this in Chicago. I don't know. We'll see. But one of the girls that contacted me from Brooklyn is a fashion designer. And I have another girl here in Cincinnati that's a fashion designer. So everybody's putting their fashions together. And I told them, as long as the fabric is not mixed, we are good. So you guys go to town and put us some clothes together. So we're excited about all of those things. And, you know, we're putting some issues together. So, you know, these are the things that we want you to know, that it's positive things that we're doing to build our nation, and positive feedback that we're getting from people. People don't want to argue anymore. People don't want to fight anymore. They don't want to fuss anymore. Let's just roll up our sleeves and do the work.
That is correct. That is absolutely
I agree.
That is so good. You understand? Let's do something about this stuff. We can talk till we blue in the face. We don't do nothing about it, man. It's just talk.
Yes. Now, you know what we're starting. Go ahead, Brother Donnie. I'm sorry.
That is my reason for being involved here. You understand? Is because I can see a movement going on. You understand? I can't just sit back and just talk, and then next week we talk about the same thing. You understand? We ain't did nothing about it. We just talk. You understand? We give each person a project. You can't handle your project, call up in the middle of the week before the meeting. You understand? And then we can't handle it, then we put somebody else in your place. But, man, we got to do something about ourselves. I'm telling you, man. Other than that, man, we going to perish. I can't stand that, man. My grandkids, I got grandkids, man. You understand? I got grandkids that I never thought that me even having a child was possible.
Wow.
Absolutely. And, you know, another thing, too, we want to announce is that we started our School of Knowledge. Our School of Knowledge will either start – we're going to have a board meeting today, so we're going to make some decisions on whether or not our school is going to start this Wednesday or our school is going to start next Wednesday. We're shooting for this Wednesday, but we have people from New York, from Atlanta, from Pittsburgh, from California that are interested, because what it's going to do is going to open up knowledge for all of us who have become conscious, and our family members are watching with their eyebrow raised. They're not really saying that, but they're watching. It is totally free. All you have to do is register with us, and we're going to send out a voicemail blast and an email blast. And you just email us at the Yehuda Project, and Yehuda is spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H at gmail.com. We have registration. We will be sending out syllabus. We have Hebrew teachers that have come on board that have agreed to teach certain topics. It will be one night a week, which is on Wednesday, and it will be from 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And once you finish the curriculum, which will be for 8 weeks, you will receive a certificate from the Nation of Yehuda saying that you've completed the particular class and the curriculum for that topic. And we're going to have online professors and instructors and just set it up just like a college, but we're going to educate our people. So these are some of the other things that we're starting to get everyone aware of some of the things that we're doing. So, you know, the Nation of Yehuda is on the move. We're trying to get some things set up so we can start educating our people. And I think I covered it all. I'm not sure if, you know, Brother Donald, do you remember anything else? I know we have the school. We have the
Did you talk
tank,
about the lawyer? Did you
yeah,
did you make mention
the
of the lawyer that said that he might want to join on?
Yes, sir. I did tell him about the attorney. We do have an attorney that is coming aboard, and it is a beautiful thing. I mean, it's like he's waking up these professional people, and they're calling, and they want to know how we can help. So, you know, we're inviting our Christian brothers and our Muslim brothers and sisters and everyone to come aboard, because we want to sit down and build ourselves up as a nation so we can be ready to be prepared for the things that are about to happen to us. And there was one other thing. I can't think of it exactly. Oh, don't forget, you guys, we have a board meeting this evening at 6:30. The number is 559-726-1300, and the access code is 765-506 pounds. So we're going to do this at 6:30 tonight. This will be probably about an hour and a half, but because we want to introduce everyone. We also signed on the Director of Public Health, and she has her master's degree in nursing. I told you guys that, and she has a master's degree in holistic health. So we've done those things, and we have set up some information with Mahalaya. She's going to help us with some things going on over in Israel. So we're getting that stuff together and putting together some different departments that will help us to build. And we're going to, if anyone is interested in helping to build the Nation of Yehuda, we would love to have you aboard. We ask you to email us at the Yehuda Project, Y-E-H-U-D-A-H, at project@gmail.com. It's the Yehuda Project at gmail.com. And let me see if there's anything else. Mahalaya, you want to make any announcements?
Not at this time.
Wonderful. Brother Donia, am I forgetting something? Because I know I am, and when I hang up, I'm going to be mad.
Just have to say it next week, because I don't remember either. I just want to say is that this might be off topic, but I wanted to say that the state of Israel is got an exclusive going, and it was published February the 1st, 2013, and it says that a seat for the Pope at David King's tomb, and then the underlying subject is Israel seems to have sold Jerusalem to the Vatican. I think we may want to pay special attention to some of these things that's going on, you understand, that those so-called Jews are doing. And with that, I want to also is that I love each and every one of you, and there's nothing that you can do about it. Hallelujah.
All right. And you know what, donations, if you want to make a donation to the Nation of Yehuda, we do have a PayPal account. You can send it to nationofyehuda@yahoo.com. If you want to mail it to us, our address is Nation of Yehuda, P.O. Box 40209, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45240. And also, this is what I was forgetting. We are having Passover. The Passover will be in Cincinnati, Ohio, April the 12th. If you want to come to the Passover, you can still email us at theyehudaproject@gmail.com, and we would love to have you as a part of our Passover celebration to come down and celebrate the Passover with us, because we have to start promoting our own holy days, you know, and if we do that as a nation, you know, that would be beautiful. The Most High is expecting us to do that. So that's what I was forgetting. So if there's nothing else, Mahalaya, don't you forget that meeting tonight at 6:30. We need you to
be there
because we missed you last week.
I'll be there.
And if anything else, it's at 6:30, 1 hour from now. If there's nothing else, what we want to say is shalom, shalom, and we love everybody, and we will definitely see you all next week. Shalom, shalom, everybody. We'll see you later. Bye-bye. Hey,
bye-bye.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, pick it light. Take it back. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Right now.
Judge us simply cause our hair is
wrong. Oh, you know we've got to find the
one. Bring some understanding here today. Oh, 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 pick it back and pick it back. Don't punish me for brutality. Come on, talk to me. You can see what's going on. Yeah, what's going on? Tell me what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. Ooh.
Right on. Right on.
All right, I guess this is the end of our show, but not the end of our mission. And we love you guys. We look forward to you guys being with us in the think tank in Atlanta. We look forward to the fashion show being a blast. We look forward to all of the things that are going on in the Hebrew nation, in the communities, in the camps, the Knessets, the churches. We all come together in love, and we say shalom, shalom to everybody. And we will definitely see you next week. We look forward. We love you. Be encouraged. Bye-bye.